The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ,
according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink. Later, you may eat and drink.' Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let us pray. Most Holy Christ, speak to us today. And may we have ears to hear. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Rooted in faith, grounded in generosity. Those are the words that came out of Paul Odom's mouth this past week when your stewardship team had its second meeting. He said those words in answer to my question, "What theme do we want this year?" And he said, "Rooted in faith, grounded in generosity." Those are the first suggested. And after a little silence and a bit of looking around, it was clear we all loved them and this thing. We did change it a little bit. The living in faith, growing in generosity, but all the words work. And you're going to be hearing those a lot in the next 7 weeks. Yes, 7 weeks. But this is good news. We're going to attempt to get this all finished in 7 weeks and leave behind the drip, drip, drip approach that always seems to haunt us here when we're doing the campaign into the middle of next year. Our vow is not to keep asking and drawing this out even into the next year. We're really going to have what I've called before to you the October Megathon. And then we're going to have it come to an end. On November 23rd, we're going to wrap it up. So wherever has been pledged, whatever has been pledged at that, is what the vestry is going to use to budget. And if it's not enough for a full-time rector, they will make the adjustments and the hard decisions. Yes, you heard what I just said. Just as a reminder, you are currently paying me a pittance, really, compared to what a full-time rector will cost. And had you had to pay a rector during this time, All Saints would have a huge deficit right now. So your stewardship team, hopefully with all of your help, is going to get it done. Pledges for 2026 before Thanksgiving and Christmas and the New Year, which will be better both for planning, for our stamina, and quite frankly, for all of our mental. There is no need to drag this on, and we shouldn't have to beg for this great mission to be supported. You either believe in it enough to give, or you don't. So in the next 7 weeks, you are going to hear testimonies, be presented with videos, and hopefully be inspired to give. And we're going to steep this campaign in truth and in challenge. And the most important thing we're going to track in this campaign is not the amount of dollars, but instead, the amount of participation. Our team, while believing the amount we raise is most definitely important, agrees that what is more important is not the amount, but the commitment, the participation of everyone here that believes in All Saints and our place in this community and world. After those words, living in faith, growing in generosity were voiced, and the quiet, happy silence that helped us realize quickly we had a consensus, the next thing we took up was the calendar. Realizing we were already behind, we decided to start it today. And so I looked while we were in that room planning that night at the gospel for today and the readings for today. And there it was, the mustard seed, metaphor often used by Jesus. It was a great feeling, as if the Holy Spirit was guiding us just a bit already. Now, this gospel is pretty straightforward. It's the parable of how something small, given and cared for and stewarded, can turn into something far larger and better and even more generous. As one commentator says of it, we need faith that despite the evidence of sight and sound, what we do matters. That we can make a difference for good. That God isn't done with this world just yet. Perhaps the key is not the size of faith, but its tenacity and durability. We might do well to join the apostles' plea for a more robust faith, and maybe add to it a resolve to embody our faith in persistent, courageous action. Now, I will admit to you, all of this talk of slavery is a little daunting. In this final paragraph of this gospel, it can be a bit jolting because of that, but this was the world Jesus lived in, and he knew the people he was talking to, those with status, the privileged. They knew it too. His point really was, as your slaves are slaves to you, you are a slave to God. And as you have some expectation of your slaves, God has some expectations of you. You don't get extra accolades or reward or credit for simply doing that which is your job to do in God's kingdom. That was all he was trying to say here, I believe, in a way that could definitely be understood. I do worry at times the way Christianity is often portrayed or defined, especially among our tribe, the more progressive, liberal side of Christianity. Amongst us, it is so often dumbed down, made too simple and easy, with very little expectation. One of my great mentors, Tony Campolo, used to say, if somebody was drowning 100 yards off the shore, a conservative would throw them 400 feet of rope and say, or 50 feet of rope and say, come the rest of the way. A liberal would throw 400 feet of rope and drop their end. There is the middle. We don't need to dumb it down. I'm not sure when we will ever wake up to the fact that most people, especially the younger generations, are not all that enthralled with anything that is simple or easy, which requires no expectation at all. Is anything really worth it in life if there's not absolutely no sacrifice and no expectation? I think I've told some of you this story, definitely in adult forum on one day I told this story. Back when I was a rector at St. James in Austin, I had a couple that I kept seeing for several weeks, and finally they set an appointment with me, and they came to see me, and they said to me, we've been traveling all around Austin, we've been listening to preachers, and we like you, we want you to do our wedding. And it was just the wrong day for me to hear that. I just went ballistic. I said, oh, great, I passed the audition. This is like a wedding meal here. That's all it is to you. I just went on and on and on. I finally said, you know what? They also wanted to do this wedding out in West Austin, away from the church, at a country club or something. I said, I'll do your frou-frou wedding. But here's what you're going to do. You're going to hand me a file when it's over of receipts of every dime you spent on it. And in that file is going to be a check for 10% made out to this church. You don't have to pay me a dime, but the church, 10%. And what did they do? They got up and left, of course. And my secretary came in and stuck her head in and said, "Great job, Greg. Evangelism 101. Fabulous." She was often dressing me down. And 3 weeks later, I walked in, and there they were, sitting there. And I said, "I'm surprised to see you." And we went in, and I said, "Why are you here?" And they said, "We'll do it." I said, "You'll do what?" I'd forgotten everything I'd said. They said, we'll do it. We'll give you receipts, and we'll give you 10%, the church, 10% of everything. And when that wedding was finished, they handed me a folder that thick with the biggest check most churches have ever gotten for anything like that. Now, when I tell that story, I say, that's a great story. It really is. But the best part of that story was after the wedding, and the next Sunday, they came back to church. And they came back to church. And they came back to church. And when I left, she was on the vestry. We had baptized their two children that were born since that wedding. That's the best part. What got them there? Expectation. The belief that this is important, so important, that you lend yourself to it that way. This has been my experience over and over and over. When an expectation is clearly stated, it garners more participation, a deeper commitment to something that's really worth it. And this includes every one of us, even me, maybe even more importantly me. Some of you have witnessed that I've started asking the ushers to bring the offering plate to me each week. And even though I've been here close to a year, it's so hard for them to do. It's just awkward. You're not supposed to ask the people in robes to give an offering. It's only the great unwashed, all of you out here. But I think that's wrong. I shouldn't ask you to do anything I'm not willing to do. And so I modeled that. In light of our stewardship team has already committed, they're going to pledge as soon as the pledge cards come off the press. Our team's asking that your vestry and search committee vow to do the same, and we'll report back to you how this goes. And again, we're going to look at participation. Not the dollars. I would say to you, expectations are good things. Jesus had and has expectations too. So often Christian communities, especially Episcopal Christian communities, make apologies for asking for or talking about money. We kind of treat it as an unfortunate reality or a sad truth that in this world we need money to do what we do. But you have heard me before, and you're going to continue to hear me say to you over these 7 weeks and beyond that giving, tithing even, is not some accessory of Christianity, some hopeful thing you might do, but is a very real expectation. In fact, I believe Jesus was fully aware you can only grow closer to Him and therefore to God by giving back. By giving away some of what, if we think of this rightly in God's kingdom, isn't yours anyway, but instead belongs to God, and that you and me are stewards of all of those things. Even science has proven that people are happier and live longer when they give, when they are generous. So I admit to you, as I have before, Marty and I tithe, we have for a long time. The first day I walked in here to supply for you, long before we came up with this more permanent relationship, I gave. I don't go to a Eucharist where I don't give something. It's not an option. It's an expectation. When Marty and I had to leave St. Mark's across town to come here because we made our commitment there, we kept giving there, and we still do. I believe it's an expectation. More positively, I'll say it this way, a discipline of Christianity. Right up there with prayer and Bible study and compassion. So we are going to track the money, of course, somewhere in a dark room here at All Saints. They will be tracking the money. But more importantly, we're going to track the members, the participation who give to this mission we share. We believe a successful October Begathon is one where all of the people that call All Saints home pledge. The amount is not going to be our focus, instead commitment and participation. You will see and hear many times we plan, many ways we intend to symbolize that. One, I'm going to do today, and I'm going to do it when I'm here during these 7 weeks, but I'm not going to be here much in those 7 weeks, but when I am, you're going to see this. When the offering plate comes up, I'm going to take it like I do, and if you've never watched this, then watch it today. I'm going to take it. I'm going to give thanks for these gifts. And then I'm going to dump it out on the altar. And I'm going to put all that money in between the chalice and the paten, all around the wine and bread. It's really what we do every week. But we keep it tidy by keeping it in a little plate. I'm going to take it out of the plate. Thank God we have given up hiding it with a veil or bagging it, which you may or may not notice we were doing when I got here, because it is nothing to be ashamed of. I'm going to do that to symbolize what this really means and what Jesus was really getting at. For us, it's the way to put ourselves on the altar. So that famous saying, I believe it was Augustine who said, it's not just bread and wine on the altar, it's us on the altar. We put us on that altar by giving back some of what has come to us. I like to put it that there's bread and wine and sweat and effort, because all of us gave up some of our lives in some way to be able to give back. Living in faith, growing in generosity. Like the mustard seed that's so tiny, and yet as its roots grow even deeper, it grows into a mighty tree and gives to the world. All Saints. It's our stewardship team's hope that through this campaign, our roots will grow deeper and our generosity will sprout higher, and that this great community will give even more to the world. And we believe we can do just that if we're living in faith and we're growing in generosity. We hope and pray you will join us on this journey. My beloved, I've said these words to you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.